Psalm 119. You know, sadly, many Christians seldom study the Bible. Well over 100 years ago, the Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon made this statement. He said, "Old-fashioned believers could give you a chapter and verse for what they believed, but how few of such remain." That was 100 years ago. And I think that the fewer have gotten fewer since then. I like what the former president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, said when he said, "Within the covers of the Bible are the answers to all the problems men face." All the answers are in the Bible. The Bible is God's inspired word. It is dependable, unchangeable, indestructible, comprehensive, accurate, current, and eternal. It is a wealth of wisdom. Its wealth of wisdom is unmatched. Its rebuke is always just. Its life-changing message of salvation is priceless. Its words of comfort pass understanding. If we truly believe these facts about the Bible, it ought to inspire us to read and study the Bible. It ought to inspire us. Let me read those facts again. As I thought about the Bible and trying to think about what the Bible says to us, it is dependable, it is unchangeable, it is indestructible, it is comprehensive, it covers all the topics that we need in life, it is accurate, it is current, and eternal. Its wealth of wisdom is unmatched, its rebuke is always just, its life-changing message of salvation is priceless, and its words of comfort pass understanding. You know, I am going to do my best with God's help and through the scriptures tonight to help us to get a hunger for the Bible. The reason that we don't read the Bible faithfully is because we don't love the Bible and we don't see the benefit of it. I've entitled the message tonight, "Personal Benefits of Studying the Bible," or "Benefits of Personal Bible Study." And I've listed 15 that I found here in the book of Psalms 119. I'm sure there's more that you could find, but I found 15 benefits of studying the Bible personally. And so I want to give them to you tonight, and my desire is that it would motivate you to study the Bible this year to come. We've got a whole brand new year ahead of us as we turn the page into 2015. And we've got the whole year ahead of us to read and study the Bible and to learn more than we've ever learned from the Bible in the past. Let's begin with verse number 9. Verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." The first benefit I find here is that it cleanses us if we heed it. It will cleanse us if heeded. When he says there that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, he's talking about cleansing from sin. He says by taking heed to the Bible. Taking heed to the Bible. If we will obey the Bible, God promises that it will clean us. But it has to do with our obedience. We've got to be willing to obey the Bible. We'll find the second one in verse number 11. Verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." The Bible will keep us from sin. In one of my other Bibles that I had when I was younger, I wrote in the front of it a quote that I heard from a preacher. He says, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." And I put that right in the front cover of my Bible. The Bible, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And we need the Bible because it'll keep us from sin. It helps us. It'll strengthen us. But we've got to hide it in our hearts. He says, "Thy word if I hid in mine heart." Now that's not just talking about memorizing, but also reading it, meditating on it, thinking about the Bible. I remember some years ago when we were studying through some of the things that Howard Hendricks said about Bible study. He asked a group of businessmen if they only knew as much about their business as they knew about the Bible, how would that affect their employment? And one guy raised his hand and said, "I'd get fired." And you know, we see the need for learning about our work, and that's just. We see the need for learning about other things in life, but many times we neglect the most important thing of all, is learning the Bible. Now think with me, wouldn't it be great if in 2015, if 2015, if we made it our goal to learn from the Bible, to meditate on the Bible more than ever before, so that in this year to come, we would learn more about the Bible and learn more from the Bible and apply more of the Bible to our lives than ever before. It would be a life-changing thing for us. It will strengthen your marriages. It'll strengthen your home. It'll strengthen your children. It'll strengthen your character. It'll strengthen everything about you if we will allow God's Word into our hearts. It protects us from sin. Look down to verse number 18. Verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Studying the Bible then reveals wondrous things from God. It reveals the wonders of God, the marvels of God, the surpassing and extraordinary things about God. They're all revealed in the Bible. How do we learn more about God and who He is and what He is like and His character and what He expects of us? It's only through the Bible. It's only through the Bible. And we see these things as we read with God's guidance. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 remind us, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What that says is that the Spirit of God is there to help us to learn as we read the Bible. And if we are going to have the Spirit of God working in our life, you know, it all fits together like a big jigsaw. When I was a boy, at Christmas time, we often would put together a big jigsaw puzzle. We'd get, you know, one of those 1,000 or 2,000 piece puzzles, and we'd put them out on the table. And during the Christmas holiday, we would work together as a family, putting this big old picture together. And you know, it's always a trick to get all the pieces lined up just right so that they make a beautiful picture. And if we're going to be able to understand the Bible, we need the Holy Spirit's help. But in order to have the Holy Spirit's help, we've got to be walking in the Spirit. We've got to be fellowshipping with God. We've got to have a right relationship with God. So that means we've got to keep sin out of our lives. So all of these are tying together. The verse number 9, it keeps us clean. Verse number 10, it protects us from sin. And then, now we see in this verse that it reveals the Word to us. And so it ties together, and we need that kind of a walk with God. Now look down to verse number 28. Verse 28, we find the fourth one. It provides strength. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Strengthen me according to thy word. I thought this is an interesting verse. It talks about my soul melting for heaviness. The word there means to melt or to bend with heat. Similar to that of a candle. If you've watched candles or played with candles, especially older candles, many times they aren't as, I don't know what they've done to the newer ones, they seem to be a little tougher, they must put stuff in them to make them stronger, but the older candles, you know, they start to lean in sometimes and start bending over with the heat. But he says here that when my soul melts, then the Word of God strengthens. The word strengthen there means to stand up. It strengthens, pulls me up. So when I start feeling like I'm melting like a candle, and I start bowing between under the pressures of life, the Word of God strengthens and holds me up. So the Word of God is there to help us, to strengthen us, to give us the strength we need in time of burdens and grief and sorrows. And so the Bible is a great friend to us and strengthened us because of the Word of God in it. Down to verse number 50, we find the fifth one. Verse number 50, it restores emotional health. This is my comfort and my in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath quickened me. He talks about here being a comfort. The Bible is a comfort. In times of affliction or poverty or misery, we find comfort in the Bible. And emotional burdens are often worse than physical burdens. And all of us, I think, have probably gone through that, especially those of us who are a little older. We know that the emotional trials of life are far worse than the physical trials of life. Because it just wears us down night and day, all through the night. You can't sleep because you got this emotional burden and you got all this weight on you. And so he says here that he gives us comfort in, during those times. And the Bible is that which can quicken us. The word quicken there means to give life, to revive, to restore, to health. You know, we need to be quickened. We talked this morning about revival. And really that's quickening, that revival, to bring us back to life, to spark us back to what we ought to be, to bring us back to the normal Christian life that God wants us to have. So we find the strengthening or the quickening, the giving of life comes through the comfort of the Word of God. So it restores our emotional health, verse number 50. Number 6, it provides wholesome meditation, verse number 97. Number 97. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Many times I've read that verse, and I thought, can I honestly say that? Oh, how I love the Bible. And because I love the Bible so much, it's my meditation all day long. Now, that ought to be true. But I have to admit, many times we get busy and scurry about with life and we seem to forget the things of the Bible. And you know, that's one of the major reasons that I strongly emphasize that you write down something you learned when you read your Bible each day. Because if you write it down, it helps you remember. If you don't write it down, two things. By writing something down, it helps you to focus on one particular spot. And then it helps you to remember because it helps to embed it in your thoughts. It helps to stick it in your mind to help you remember. In fact, one of the things that just, I don't remember whether it was this morning or in the last day or so, in the book of Proverbs, I read something that you know, because I focused on it and brought it to the forefront of my mind, it stuck in my mind and is a good reminder. And it's just an illustration of what I'm talking about here, of the value of this. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 33 says, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And this morning as I read that, I did a little bit of study on it, dug up some of the words, and I discovered there that the word churning and wringing and forcing are all the same Hebrew word. It means to put pressure on, to squeeze. And so he says if you put pressure on milk, you squeeze milk, you know, in the old butter churns, some of the old butter churns, you plunk a thing up and down in it like a plunger. Other butter churns, you cranked it, but in the olden days, they didn't have the cranks and things like that, but they would churn the butter. And so your milk is sloshing back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. Any of you ever made butter? Yeah, all right. So churning butter like that is pretty amazing. But he says the constant repetitive churning of that butter and pushing down on that milk forms it into butter. And he says the wringing in the nose, You know, you just take your nose and start cranking on it, or somebody else takes your nose and starts cranking on it and squeezing it and jerking it back and forth, and what's going to happen? Eventually it's going to bleed. And he says, in the same way, the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. Wrath there is the internal anger in someone's heart. And if we keep irritating it, you know, let's just take, for example, our spouse. If we continue to irritate our spouse in an area where we know they're already a bit upset, and we just keep rubbing it in, rubbing it in, rubbing it in, eventually what's going to happen? Kaboom! All right? There's going to be strife because we've kept doing it. And so I bring this out here because I would never have remembered that. If I would have read that, you know, 5 years ago when I wasn't writing things down all the time, I would have read it over and thought, yeah, that's a cool verse, and just keep on going, and it wouldn't have dawned on me. But to take it and focus on it and just say, I'm going to pick one verse out of all that I read today and focus my attention on that and give it some thought, maybe look up some things in it, and then write down a principle that will help me, it makes a huge difference. It'll really help you. And so when he says here that in verse number 97, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. It'll help us to love the Word of God if we read it, but it'll also give us something wholesome to meditate on. You know, all through the day we think about things. What we think about depends on what's happening around us. But when nothing's happening around us, we still are thinking about something. And the things that we think about are the things that are in the depths of our heart. The things that come up from our heart. And God says if we're meditating on the Word of God, it'll come up in our heart. And we'll think about it. And we'll meditate on it through the day. There's nothing better to meditate on than the Bible. And to think about it. You're laying in bed at night, getting ready to go to sleep. The best thing you can do is meditate on the Bible. Think about the Word of God. Think about what you read, or think about what you heard in church, or whatever the situation may be, and let it go through your mind. Meditate upon it, and it'll help us in tremendous ways. Now over to number 103, Psalm 119:103. Number 7, it sweetens the heart. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. As we daily read the Bible and dig into its truths, we will gain a sweet taste for the things of God. Reminds me of our boys when they were young. Our youngest son, Silas. Two things he did not like. He did not like green peppers, and he did not like onions. But we had a rule in our home that whatever was on the table, you're going to have some of what was on the table. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have some. And so he persevered and ate his little bit of green capsicum and his little bit of onion when it was on the table and endured it. And today, Silas will eat anything. He will eat anything. He'll go out in the bush and find weeds out in the bush. He's a, you know, being a horticulturist, he knows all these weeds in the bush. He says, oh, here's a good one. And he eats anything. But he gained a taste for it by repetition. And so it is. You know, you may look at the Bible and say, I just don't seem to enjoy the Bible. Well, that could be a heart issue, or it could be just that you've never spent time in the Bible. Many Christians think that the Bible is bitter because they never have eaten enough to realize how sweet it really is. And so we need to spend quality time in the Bible, reading and studying it and meditating upon it. And the more we eat it, the more we will see that it is sweet to the taste and health to our soul. Number 8, verse 105, it directs our lives. 105 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet, under my feet, and a light under my path. A lamp under my feet and a light under my path. The Bible is that which gives us direction. Without the Bible, we would make all of our decisions based on our own opinion. You know, most people in the world today make all their decisions based on their opinion or peer pressure. You know, something they've seen on television, or their peers are trying to tell them to do this, or they just make it out of their gut feelings. But God wants us to base our decisions on the Bible. on the Bible. And when we come to a situation where we say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, then let's go back to the Bible and say, what's the Bible say? And that ought to be a study. When you find something where you find that you disagree with something that you heard at church, or you disagree with something that a godly Christian said, then go back to the Bible and start digging on that subject. And you dig and dig and dig and dig and dig until you've found everything you can find on that subject and find out what God says. Because it really doesn't matter what I say or what Dr. So-and-so says or what you read in some book. But what does matter is what God says. And let's go back to the book and just find out what God says about a matter. Because the Bible will give us light and it'll be a lamp to our feet. It always reminds me when we lived in Papua New Guinea, we depended on lamps. And we lived 2 years in the jungle. And we had no electricity except what we had on our little hand crank generator thing. A little Honda generator. And we didn't run that every day. We just ran it every couple days and charged up this big car battery. And then we had little boat lights in the house that would give us a little bit of light in the evening. But we depended on lanterns when we would go for walks. We had two kinds. We had the pump-up kerosene lanterns, and we had the old-fashioned, trim the wick, pour in the kerosene, light the thing type of a lantern. And those were the typical ones that most everybody had in Papua New Guinea because they were inexpensive. And one of the things that we learned very quickly is it was very, very important that you keep the wick trimmed properly. If you didn't keep it trimmed properly, if one side was higher than the other, then that side would go up, and in order to get enough light, it would smoke. And smoke would come rolling out of the top of it, and it'd smell. But worse than that, it made the glass turn black. And the more it turned black, the less and less light you got out of it. So it didn't help you much. So every day before you'd light your lantern, you take the scissors and very carefully trim the wick just the right angle. And then you polish the glass clean. And when you light the lantern, you got lots of light. And so God's Word is like a light and a lamp that will guide us. But we have to keep it trimmed and we have to keep it clean. And it's not that we're trimming and cleaning the Bible. We're trimming and cleaning ourselves to be able to understand the Bible, to gain from it, and to keep it shining brightly in our lives. Number 9, it provides upholding. Upholding. Verse number 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. The word uphold here means to support. And the Bible is our support. It's our strength to hold us up. Psalm 145 verse 14 says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and riseth up all those that are bowed down." The Bible is that which will strengthen us and hold us up and build us up. There's a really great principle in the verse written to the people of Israel in Isaiah 41 verse number 10. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God says, "I'll hold you up." Now, that was not written to us. It was written to the Israelites in a particular situation that they were in. But the principle is there that we can gain strength from God, and He will uphold us with His righteousness. And so the Word of God, as we read the Word of God and you find something that, you know, you're going through an issue in your life and you read in the Bible and God shows you something that can be a help to you, it's like strength to hold you up and to give you the boost that you need and to give you the foundation you need to be able to stand strong in that particular situation of life. So it upholds us. Number 10, it gives light. Now, this is similar to what we saw in verse number 105, but in verse 130, it's a little bit different. 130, "The entrance of thy word gives light, gives understanding to the simple." The entrance of the word. As we enter the Bible, it gives us light. Now, when we think about this, we live in a dark world. And we are lacking understanding. And he says here that by entering the Bible, it gives us light and it gives us understanding. Light and understanding. So it reveals truth to us, opens up truth to us, and it gives us understanding. And it, when he says here, the entrance into thy word, the word entrance there literally means the opening or unfolding. So when you open or unfold your Bible and you spend time in it, the entrance of God's word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. We need God's light to open our dark minds and to give us discernment and understanding to be able to know the right things to do. You know, many times we make wrong decisions because we don't meditate upon the principles of the Bible. We don't build our answers from the Bible. We just answer it according to our feelings instead of what God said. So we need the Bible. It gives us stability. But 160 is number 12. Verse 160, it provides a true foundation. Verse 160 says, thy word is true from the beginning. Did I miss 11? 133? Thank you. Okay, number 11. Number 10 was give light. Number 11 was give stability. 133. So, thank you. Verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. It gives stability. The word order there means to be firm or stable or established. Firm, stable, or established. So he says order. Or in other words, establish my steps in your word. Make them firm in your word. And our feet are to be firmly set in God's word so that no iniquity, no sin is able to defeat us. So as we have our feet firmly rooted in the Bible, it will protect us from sin. Because it will give us the wisdom that we need to see. You know, like in the book of Proverbs, it says, it talks about the prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And prudence comes from God. And it comes from reading the Scriptures. We get the wisdom and prudence from God from reading and studying the Scriptures. And so we can spot a problem. You know, that is one of the things that is very, very important for Christians. And it's something that it only comes with biblical maturity. Doesn't necessarily come with age. And that is the ability to discern. Discern. As you're reading along and you're reading in a book and you say, and somebody makes some statement, you think, wait a minute, is that right? Something smells wrong about that. I'm not so sure about that. Whereas a person with no discernment just kind of glazes right over and says, oh yeah, Dr. So-and-so said it, so it must be right. No, we need to be discerning so that we can evaluate things and we run them all through the Bible grid in our mind. And so every situation of life, something comes up, somebody makes a comment, somebody makes some kind of a statement, we have to evaluate it. Was that accurate? Was that true? Was that right? Is that the right answer? Is that the right decision I should make? Should I go there? Should I not go there? And the more you know of the Bible, the more you can process this in your mind with the Lord's help to be able to run it through that Bible grid without actually going back in your study and sitting down and digging in the Bible concordance to find the answers. You've got it in your mind, you're able to process. And as you do that, you're able to become more discerning so that you can spot error and be able to see the error of their ways. You know, so when things come up, you know, that's perhaps you've heard this before, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. They have said that, especially in days gone by, maybe they don't do it today, but to prevent counterfeit money from getting into circulation, they would teach those people in the banks not to, they didn't have classes on all the counterfeit money, but they had classes on this is what the real stuff's like. Feel it, look at it, examine it, know what it looks like. This is the real stuff. And so when you see a fake, something's not right about this. And you can spot it. And so the better you know the truth, the better you can spot error. We've got to know the book. And it'll help us in our homes. You know, you come to a situation in your home where there's a disagreement or there's a conflict, and you can go back to the Bible and you find the Bible answer for it, and you can apply it to your lives, and it'll help you. It'll strengthen you because we've found what God wants for us there. And so it gives us stability. Our feet need that stability, especially in the slippery things of life. This morning, Carl and I were discussing flying and landing a plane on ice and how complicated that was and dangerous it can be. And the same is true in a car, of driving on ice. Most of you have never driven on ice. It's quite a bit different than driving on slippery roads with water. It's much more dangerous. You've got to be extremely careful and slow down much earlier. But, you know, the slippery things in life, you know, life has got a lot of slippery things in it. The devil wants us to slip and slide and trip and fall and land in the mess. And we've got to be stable, and the Word of God will keep us stable. And then number 12, it provides a true foundation. 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." God's word is true from the beginning to the end. And every one of his righteous judgments endures forever. So he talks about here his word and his judgments. And it's the Bible is true from cover to cover. There are parts of the Bible that are difficult to understand. You know, sometimes people bring up and say, "Well, what about this? You know, this doesn't match up. This, you know, there are some things that I don't understand in the Bible. But I know one thing: when God wrote it, he knew exactly what he said, and he didn't make any mistakes. Now, since that time, whether man has twisted it, or whether something has gone wrong with our understanding, or we don't understand the context, but everything that God wrote was right and true, and God made no mistakes. In the areas that we don't completely understand, one day we can get to heaven, we can ask God about it, and he can help us. But we just need to depend on God and realize that God makes no mistakes. And every one of God's judgments, the word judgment there refers to his decisions. The decisions that God makes. Every one of God's decisions are always right. You know, I wish that I could say that all of my decisions were always right, but they're not. A whole bunch of them are wrong. You know, I try my best to do what's right, but I still fail. And every one of us fail. But God's judgments are always, always right. And so we can depend upon Him. It provides a true foundation for life. And if we will study and read the Bible and live by it, we'll make far fewer mistakes in life by living by the Bible. Number 13, it gives us peace to those who love it. 165. Verse 165, "Great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." God says if we love his law, nothing will offend us. In other words, the word offender has to do with stumbling, trip us, and it causes us to trip and stumble. And he says it will will have great peace if they that love thy law. You know, to say that we love the Bible means that we value it, we treasure it, it's important to us, it's a priority to us, we make it a daily priority in our lives. And he says if we love the Bible, we will have great peace. Those who seldom read it and rarely obey it do not know the peace that God alone can provide. And he says, those who know it have this peace, and they will not be offended or stumble during life's troublesome seasons. You know, the troubles of life, we talked about this morning, the troubles of life threaten to stumble us, trip us, cause us to fall, but God's word will keep us stable if we love it and have God's peace. Number 14, it gives understanding. Look at verse 169. "Let my cry come near thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." Give me understanding according to thy word. So he says that the scripture, spending time in the Bible, gives us understanding. And it gives us the discernment that we need for the things of life. You know, we need God's understanding to build solid marriages, to rear children in a God-fearing way, to have obedient children, to make wise financial decisions, to resolve conflicts, to live godly in an ungodly world, we need God's wisdom. We need His understanding and His discernment. And God says here that by studying the Bible, we can get that discernment. It's because the more you know of the Bible, the more the Bible influences your decisions of life. And it'll help you to make the right decisions that'll keep you going in the right direction. Then number 15, verse 170, it provides deliverance. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Deliver me according to thy word. The commandments and principles of the Bible will deliver us, or literally rescue or save us, or pull us away from the dangers of life. The word there to deliver has to do with pulling us away, keeping us from something dangerous. It reminds me of a mouse trap. And the little mouse is going near the trap and he's thinking, smells good, I'd like to try that. And you know, I don't know how mice work, but I can't help but believe that the old Papa Mouse, he's too wise for that. And he's saying, don't do it, son. Don't do it. It's no good. I mean, if there wasn't somebody telling them the truth, they'd get in the trap every time. But for some reason, they walk around it. And, you know, somebody's giving them some wisdom. And you know, they're saying, don't do it. It smells good, but it's bad. Don't do it. Last time that happened, you know, your great uncle, he went in there. And that's the last we saw of him. He squished out and his eyeballs popped. And so don't go in there. That's not good. All right? And so, you know, God's word will deliver us. It'll rescue us. It'll pull us away. It'll lead us in the right direction when we're tempted to do wrong. Psalm 72 verse 12 says, He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. Psalm 91 verse 3 says, Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Proverbs 2:16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger that flattereth with her words. The Scripture, the Bible, will deliver us. We need the Bible. Truly studying the Bible in the year to come would be the greatest blessing in your life since your salvation, if you'll do that. This evening I want to urge you to make a resolution. I'm not big on resolutions, but I challenge you tonight with this resolution. I've got four points to it. I'd like you to write them down and think about it. And I would challenge you to promise these things to God. Number one, I will promise God to make the Bible reading a priority this year. I'll promise God to make Bible reading a priority this year. To promise to make it a priority. Number two, I will plan a time, a place, and a schedule for reading the Bible. I will plan a time, a place, and a schedule for reading the Bible. And you don't have to use my schedule. I don't care what you follow. But if you have no plan, you'll fail. You just open your Bible every day and just kind of thumb through it and find something to read, you'll fail. It won't work. You've got to have some sort of a schedule or it will not work. I've tried that. It doesn't work. You've got to know where you're going. Maybe you study through a book. Maybe you study through a section. Maybe you study all the verses you can find on a topic. Or maybe you just follow the Bible reading schedule that I use. But you need something. Number three, I will pursue by a daily, personal principle and recorded. Pursue means to search to find. I will pursue daily a personal principle and recorded. I will pursue daily a personal principle and recorded. That principle where you find something in the Bible that you can apply to your life and write it down. Write it down. And then meditate on it. Number four, I will persist when it gets difficult and I feel like quitting. I will persist when it gets difficult and I feel like quitting. Let me read through them again. The resolution. I will promise God to make Bible reading a priority this year. Number two, I will plan a time, a place, and a schedule for reading the Bible. Now, dealing with planning a time and a place, that is just as important as planning a schedule. If you have no place that you always read your Bible, you'll fail. If you don't have a time that you always read your Bible, you'll fail. Because we're people that need to have a routine. You need to have a place. I know where I read my Bible. I read my Bible in my office. You may not have an office, but you say, this is my chair over here. When I'm over in that chair, I'm reading my Bible. Everybody else tune out, I'm reading my Bible. Or maybe it's in your bedroom. Maybe it's, you know, in the corner of your room. You set up a chair there and say, this is where I'm going to read my Bible every day. And that's you need to have a time as well as a place. And you need to know, when is it going to be? For me, the only time that works for me is in the morning, first thing in the morning. So I get up early and find my quiet place, and I read my Bible and pray and spend my time with God. If I don't do that, and life gets busy, at the end of the day I say, did I read my Bible today? I'm not sure whether I did. I bet I didn't. We need a time, a place, and a schedule. So I will promise God, I will plan. Number three, I will pursue daily personal principle and record it. Number four, I will persist when it gets difficult and I feel like quitting. Now, in my heart, I feel like putting you on the spot and saying, how many would you do that? But I don't want to do that. Because it's got to be a choice of your heart. If you just raised your hand because I don't want everybody to think I'm a heathen and I'm not going to read my Bible, it won't do you any good. But you need to have that burned in your heart and say, between you and God, God, here's my resolution. I promise I'm going to read the Bible a priority this year. I'm going to plan and I'm going to pursue and I'm going to persist. And you and God, between you and God, even as we close in prayer, one of the things I would strongly urge you to do is as I'm praying, you talk to the Lord and you tell Him those four things if it comes from your heart. God, I promise I'll make it a priority. I will plan a place, a time, and a schedule. I will pursue a daily principle and I will persist even when it gets difficult with God's help.